Hallelujah. In the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about a series entitled Being Right with God. You know, it's such a wonderful way to start the new year. As a brother in Christ says, the first month of the year is a good time to take stock of one's self, to see how you are in the sight of God. Sometimes the Bible says we judge ourselves. We take stock of who we are, what we're doing. The scripture says, as the Spirit of God, as the mind of a man knows the heart of a man, so does the Spirit of God knows the deep things of God. In other words, your spirit, your inner man, knows your mind. He knows who you are, and he can tally that and can make stock of it. So being right with God is the title of that series. And the first part of that series was entitled, a subtitle, You Must Be Born Again. Oh, hallelujah. You must be born again. And there is no better moment in the life of a human being than the moment he or she is born again. Because at that moment, that individual that was spiritually dead becomes spiritually alive. That individual that was contrary to God becomes reconciled to God. That individual that stands condemned is now alive in Christ and has eternal life. Amen? Hallelujah. You must be born again. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In these scripture verses that we have heard so many times, but they're impactful because our lives are filled with people that is not born again. Our lives are filled with people who are destined for eternal damnation. And it is incumbent upon us, as God has given to each and every one of us the ministry of reconciliation, to reach out to our last and dying family members, hallelujah, so that they too may have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, whereby the Holy Spirit himself may come to dwell on the inside of them, giving them a new life. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Just recently, and Tuesday went by, I had a brother in Christ, had just passed away. I went to his funeral. And this same brother was a brother who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And we went to his house, and as the testimony was given, he was healed, perfectly healed from cancer. But during the stage when he was sick, his lungs had his organs had collapsed, and they had to put some stencils in it to keep it inflated. Well, since he has gotten better, he went in for a surgery not too long ago to remove that stencil. And in the process of that surgery, the doctors punctured one of his intestines. They did not know. And he went home and he began to feel not too well. And he began to feel not too well, and he went back and they found out that that was the case. But by the time they found out, things that goes into the intestine, like waste, has gotten into his bloodstream and distributed throughout the whole course of his body. And he was losing so fast, and Sometimes, brothers and sisters in Christ, it does not really matter how devastating it may seem. God is always willing to heal because by his stripes we are healed. But for some reason, this brother has accepted the fact that he is going to be with the Lord. So for the last two weeks of his life, he did nothing but praise God, worship God, telling everyone that he speaks with that he is ready to be with the Lord forever, because he noted to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He made up his mind. Even to the last evening before he died, he was still very sharp. His body was deteriorating. He could barely speak, but he was talking about Jesus. You know, the hope of the believer, brothers and sisters in Christ, is one day we will be with the Lord forever. And at the funeral, I got up and spoke, and I said to those that was there that there is one thing about me and my brother in Christ. I says, Brother Ezel, until we meet again. This is profound, because one of the things about family, we don't abandon each other. We always want to be with one another. We enjoy one another unless you allow Satan to get in the midst of the relationship. And I could have said to him, until we meet again. You know something, brothers and sisters in Christ? You must be born again. That is our duty for the year 2018. To tell somebody, plain and straight, you must be born again. Amen? In John, I hope you have your Bibles with you. In the book of John, chapter 3 and verse 18. The scripture does not sugarcoat it. It says, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this scripture is confirmation of what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is saved, he stands condemned. Unless one is saved, he is separated from God, destined for the pit of hell. And that's the gospel truth. Jesus is saying that one that is not born again will never see God. Oh, hallelujah. He or she will never become a part of the family of God. Unless one accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, the rejection, the sin of rejecting him, prevents him from experiencing eternal life. And eternal life, brothers and sisters, consists of all God has to offer us. Eternal life consists of healing. It consists of deliverance. It consists of provision. It consists of protection, victory, peace, contentment, confidence, assurance, prosperity, and power. Is that what we want for our family? Then put pride aside. Become shameless, so to speak. And go to your family members and say, you must be born again. And here is the reason why. Here is the reason why I am telling you this. Here is the reason why I'm so passionate about this. Because I love you. Oh, hallelujah. Well, Jesus made another statement, very important. He said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Remember, the first is to see the kingdom of God. You will never become a part of what God has established for himself. And as he has reconciled himself to you, you will never be reconciled to him unless you are born again. But now Jesus is making another statement. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a different statement. In other words, there are so many Christians in this world who they are Christians, meaning that they are born again, but they have not entered the kingdom of heaven. It's a different situation altogether. Not only must you be born again, you must be converted, or you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is God's domain. It is his domain. It is the privilege of God that belongs to all who is born again. You see, if you are not converted, you are preventing yourself from enjoying, from appropriating, from receiving all that God has to offer in his domain. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Individuals who are citizens of the United States is privileged to all the privies they can receive in the United States. All its protection and all its wealth and all that it has to offer, we are privileged to it if we are citizens. If you're not citizens, you may enjoy some of it, but not all of it. Well, Jesus says, unless you are converted, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you want to enjoy all that is within the domain of God, you must be converted. We're going to get to that a little bit deeper here. Oh, hallelujah. To be converted means you must change. By the renewing of your mind to the word of God, you are making conscious decisions to become who you are in Christ Jesus. Conscious decisions to become who you are in Christ Jesus. As a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit of God now dwells in you, giving you the life and nature of God and makes you a new creation in Christ Jesus. As a born-again believer, by the renewing of your mind to the word of God, you are making a conscious decision to live like that new creation that you are in Christ Jesus. Oh, we're going to get a little bit deeper. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If you are a new creation in Christ, the old life is gone. It is easy for one to tell everyone that they are Christians. But it takes an effort, if one is to be true, to be sincere in the proclamation that they are Christians, it takes a conscious effort to turn away from the old way of life and embrace the new life that God has given to you. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus in Ezekiel 36, verse 12, 27 says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgment and do them. In other words, Jesus is saying, this new nature that you have will cause you to walk and live by the word of God. Now, for some of us, we just want to be sure you understand the real you I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this body that I can see. That's not the real you. That's your housing. I'm not talking about your soulish realm, your personality, your attitude, your mind. That's not the real you. You are a spirit just as God is a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. The real you that has undergone the radical change is you who are spirit by the Spirit of God coming to live on the inside of your new spirit, giving you a new nature, causing you to act according to your new nature, which is the word of the living God. Because our mind is not undergone the radical change, it's the reason why we need to make a conscious decision, hallelujah, to walk in the word of God. Hallelujah. There must be evidence of a radical change. You can no longer, as a true believer, continue to live the life of an unbeliever. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said this in 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Your life is not no longer your own. You know, some people have this habit of saying, I have rights. Well, I have rights. If you don't belong to yourself, what rights do you have? You have given up all rights when you say Jesus is my Lord. In other words, his rights is the rights by which you live. He has bought you with a price. Oh, hallelujah. This is the reason why Paul said to the church of Corinth, he died for all, that those who live should live. That those who live means those who are spiritually alive, those who are born again, those who are citizens of the kingdom of God, those who have eternal life, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. The born again believer begins a new life in relationship with God, demonstrating repentance, meaning turning away from sin. And this often involves a few things. A change of temperament. A change of temperament. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, I'm talking to you believers, Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Stop holding malice. Oh, hallelujah. We cannot continue to live in strife. We cannot continue to maintain quarrels. We cannot continue to have animosity and scorn towards one another if we say we are the child of a living God. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of your life. Oh, hallelujah. When we live a life filled with issues, it is a sure sign that we are allowing the devil to deceive us. We are giving him the opportunity to reap havoc in our lives, robbing us of peace, joy, and contentment. People with issues are not contented. They have no joy. There's always a frown on their faces. They're always caught up in strife and malice and quarrel and judgment. Guard your heart with due diligence, for out of it flows the issues of your life. Being converted also means a radical change to your attitude. We cannot continue to be the instrument of dissension and division and separation. Ephesians 6:12 warns us. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. In other words, we cannot continue to allow the attitude and behavior of another person to cause us to react in a manner that is unbecoming of a child of a living God, knowing that it is the devil that is the instigator and the accuser. He comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1:12 says, for our boasting, hey, if you have to boast, our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, the testimony of our conscience, that we conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly towards you or towards one another. Now, while repentance is a command from God, faith is the necessary principle that is needed to continue in right relationship with Him. The prophet Isaiah says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to our God, for he, God, freely pardons. There is no other way for a man to be right with God. The writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. All spiritual blessings of the dead and resurrection of Christ are received through faith. All spiritual blessings. Our justification. Romans 3:28 says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Our redemption. Romans 3, 23 through 25, Paul's explained that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There are those who have been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented him, Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. We are being reconciled to God. Romans 5, 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul sees it this way in Galatians 2:20. Now, I say Paul sees it this way in Galatians 2:20. Now, Paul is the church. You see, Paul is a man that has been born again just like you and I. But he was a man used by God to deliver this message, so that we can see it the same way he sees it. If Paul sees it this way in Galatians, hallelujah, 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. We cannot continue to live a life of flesh because it is not through Christ. We must put away fleshly deeds, fleshly desires. We must bring this body into subjection. We cannot allow the gratification of the flesh to overtake or make demands on our decision. We must run the race in a manner that we will not stumble, because we are the testimony of many who watches us. We can be the deciding factor as to whether a man is going to come to Jesus or not. When they see us, they see Christ. They see your attitude. They examine your temperament. They watch your behavior. And depending on yourself, is those things in line with the word of God? If they're not, you need to be converted. Oh, hallelujah. From the moment you wake up in the morning, Jesus should become the focal point of in all your plans. A man can come to God without great intelligence. He can come to God without wealth or social standing. He can certainly come to God without rituals and ceremonies, priests or penance. But he cannot come to God without faith. As Dr. H.W. Thomas, an accomplished writer, puts it, faith is our response to God's revelation, the link between God and man, and the channel of all divine blessings. Faith in the name of Jesus is the only channel God made available for the appropriation of his promises and his blessings. To receive salvation is by faith. To receive deliverance is by faith. To receive provision is by faith. To receive healing is by faith. Oh, hallelujah. You hearing me? To exercise your authority over the devil and his demonic forces is done by faith in the name of Jesus. To exercise your authority over sicknesses and diseases and infirmities are done by faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But remember too, faith goes hand in hand with repentance. Conversion is both turning from sin and turning to God. There is no faith without repentance. There is no repentance without faith. To get right with God, it means to renounce sin and rely on God. God is awesome. You know what he's doing? You see, God, the Spirit of God is speaking to your inner man. And he hears everything God has to say. And the inner man of a born-again believer is always obedient. The inner man of a born-again believer is never contrary to God. The Bible says that this about you, the real you, who is spirit. It says you do not sin. And you cannot sin because you have been born of God. It says this about you. You have the mind of Christ. It says this about you. As he is, so are you in this world. It says this about you. You are perfect, made perfect in the eyes of God. The real you. If you are a child of God, says, I am perfect. Well, tell you what, one thing about this you are perfect. But one thing about the other two pieces of you, remember your three parts, spirit, soul, and body? There's another two pieces of you that has not undergone the radical change. I want you to change, think about it this way. If I pinch your body, you says, oh, you pinch me. That means I pinch you. The word, why were you? If you begin to smile and laugh and be happy, I says, why were you is happy. And if you begin to worship God, why were you is worshiping God. In other words, the word you is used for three parts, but don't mix them up. Separate them. The real you is perfect in the eyes of God. But the soulish you needs some radical change. And so the soulish you need to not conform yourself to the pattern of this world. You see, the pattern of this world has some very, very classy statements. The pattern of this world will say, don't try me because you don't know who I am. I will be on you like white on rice. You're going to feel my wrath. You see? Hey, this is me. You know me by now. I'm going to say what is on my lips. And I'm going to give you it plain and straight. And I don't care, honey. You will know what I'm thinking. That's the way of the world. The Bible says about this concerning your soulish realm. Bring every thought. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bring every thought, who can finish that for me, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Before you speak, stop and ask yourself the question, am I giving glory and honor to God with the thing I'm about to say? And if it is no, check yourself before. Nah, I don't want. I'm not going to go forward with that. You know, I am not as fluid as pastor is. You know, I might just say it wrong. But that's what God wants us to say. He wants us today to take stock. Jesus says, you must be born again. Assuredly, I say to you, you must be born again. Unless a man is born again, he will never see the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Give the Lord a hand. That's the end of a series. I tell you something. I think it's a good stepping stone to the year 2018. It allows us to stop and think, how many times will I refuse to give my loved one the greatest opportunity to receive the most precious blessing they will ever receive in their lifetime? You see, you are not the one who can save, but you are the one God is using to give that opportunity to present the gospel to them. Amen? Amen. So let's do that. And are we going to continue in this year and says, how am I living? Am I a light to this world and a salt on this earth? Am I making a difference? Or do I need to make a little adjustment? Because see, God does not judge you. Jesus says, I did not come to judge. I don't come to judge. I come that you might be saved. He comes to bless us. And at any given time, you can make adjustments. It's not my place to judge. It's not my place to point fingers. It's not your place to point fingers at me. It's our place to check ourselves, so that we can walk circumspect in the eyes of God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the name. Give the Lord another hand.